2 Corinthians chapter 1, 19 and 20. 19 and 20, verses 19 and 20. Ready? Let's read together. For the Son of God, Jesus Christ, who was preached among you by us, even by me and Silvanus and Timotheus, was not yea and nay, but in him was yea. For all the promises of God in him are yea, and in him amen, unto the glory of God by us. May God bless this reading, and let's pray, and then you can be seated. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word and how you lead us through it. Every day, God, we need this book, the Bible, in our life. And I pray that we would be men and women of the word, that it would not just be something that we hear preached, but it would be something that we read and we meditate on, and then we live, apply it. And then, Lord, I just pray that this thought that you've laid on my heart over the last really couple of weeks, and maybe even longer, but definitely heavier the last couple of weeks, that you would help me to be able to speak only what you would want said. And so I yield myself to you. I pray that I would be emptied of anything that would not be honoring to you, but that everything that would be honoring to you and your kingdom would be said, and that we would be willing to receive it and apply it in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Thank you for standing. I'd like to speak to you this morning on the theme of they spoke of Jesus. They spoke of Jesus. And it's going to be more topical than it is as we're just journeying through the book of Acts. So have your Bibles ready as we journey through several passages of Scripture trying to emphasize this one theme. They spoke of Jesus. In our text here, though, that we start from, the Word of God tells us that God, it was preached. Paul is writing, as you know, he wrote much of the New Testament. And I don't think I turned this on yet, Brother Joey. Okay. He wrote much of the New Testament that we have here in front of us, this being one of the books that he wrote. And notice he says that the Son of God, who was preached among you by us. And so Paul wasn't by himself. Paul wasn't the only one who was giving the message of the Word of God. And he lists some other names here for us. You see that in your text. Silas, that's Silvanus, otherwise known as Silas, same person. And also Timothy, which is Timotheus. And again, they also were preaching. And then it said that at the end of verse 20, by us. So the emphasis here that God, you know, is mentioning and in this particular area of Scripture is that the preaching of the Word of God or the sharing of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ is not meant for one person only. It's meant for us. And in this case, Paul is saying there were many of us that were preaching the Word of God. There were many of us that were going from place to place and giving the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And notice it says in verse 20 as well, I like this thought, for all the promises of God in Him, in who? In Jesus Christ. All the promises of God in Jesus Christ. So here's something to be reminded of. It's not the message, but Jesus Christ fulfilled all the promises of what the Messiah would be like. He fulfilled all the promises of what the Messiah would be like. Let's look at a couple things quickly. He was the Lord Jesus Christ. Turn to 1 Peter chapter number 3. 1 Peter chapter number 3. They spoke of Jesus. Now, I want us today, as we look through these verses of Scripture, to recognize this is not a message specifically about Paul, Silas, and Timothy, and the fact that we're going to see what they did about how they spoke of Jesus, but the emphasis is for us to speak of Jesus. And why would we speak of Jesus? Why would we speak of Jesus? Well, that's what we're going to look at here by way of introduction. Look at 1 Peter chapter number 3, where the Word of God says in verse number 18, 1 Peter 3:18, the Bible says, for Christ also hath once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, This is the only way someone can be a Christian is through the Lord Jesus Christ. This is the, I written down in the margin of my Bible, an extraordinary substitution. I deserve hell. You deserve hell. All sinners deserve hell. And Jesus Christ took that death upon himself. He was our substitute. He's the only way, the truth, and the life. And then it says, being put to death in the flesh, but quickened by the Spirit. The Lord Jesus Christ, our extraordinary substitute. He suffered once the sins of the suffered for the sins, the just for the unjust. Look, turn back to Romans chapter number 8. Romans chapter number 8. They spoke of Jesus. They spoke of Jesus. Romans chapter number 8. And look with me, please, if you will, and verse number 34. Romans 8, 34. Very helpful passage of Scripture to read time to time. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died. Yea, rather, that is risen again. Amen. Who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. They spoke of Jesus, and we should be speaking of Jesus today, not only because He is that extraordinary substitute. He died for sinners, but he's also interceding for us today. He's interceding for his children. If you're a child of God today, be thankful for that intercession that is taking place. He is at the right hand of the Father, interceding on your behalf and mine. Hebrews chapter number 4. Hebrews chapter number 4. The Bible says there in verse number 14, Hebrews 4:14. Seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession, for we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, notice, yet without sin. Why do we speak of Jesus? We speak of Jesus because he never sinned one time. We speak of Jesus because he's interceding on our behalf. We speak of Jesus because he was the substitute for your sin and mine. He took hell on him. He took the sacrifice. He became the sacrifice for you and for me. The Bible says in our text, in him was yea. In him was yea. He, God, he, Jesus Christ, co-equal, coexistent with God the Father. So here we see in our original text three preachers, three people that spoke of Jesus. You can go through the Bible, and we're going to do that now in just a moment, and we find many people speaking of Jesus. Why would someone speak of Jesus? Well, I can think of a few things. When our life has been changed, that's why we speak of Jesus. By the way, if you're saved today, you cannot help but have a changed life. Meaning, if your life is not changing, you might want to make sure you're saved. Because when the Holy Spirit of God takes over a life, when the Holy Spirit of God comes in, some things are going to start going out. And some new things are going to start coming in. A change takes place. They spoke of Jesus because he changed their lives. Have you been forgotten? Maybe you haven't forgotten. I hope not. But how much change, because of the Lord Jesus Christ, how much has changed in your life? They spoke of Jesus, secondly, because he is the only way. He is the only truth. He is the only life. In fact, the Bible says that he was a friend of sinners. He was a friend of sinners. They spoke of Jesus. They spoke of Jesus because we read in the Bible that he is the great shepherd. Oh, do we have a world today that is in great need of leadership and guidance? We have a world today that needs a shepherd. We're all sheep. The Bible tells us that. I'm so thankful that I have someone to speak of that is the great shepherd. That's why they spoke of him. A caring shepherd. A protecting shepherd. Oh, a correcting shepherd. Thank God for that staff that he has that corrects me and corrects you. And he keeps us in the fold. They spoke of Jesus because he is the bright and morning star. All through the Scriptures, they spoke of Jesus. Go with me to Luke's Gospel, chapter number 2. Luke's Gospel, chapter number 2. So we've kind of looked at, by way of introduction, why would we speak of Jesus? Now let's take a look at some examples in the Bible, and I pray that God would challenge us about these examples. The first example that we're going to look at is by a lady who spoke of Jesus. Luke chapter number 2. And look, please, if you will, in verse number 36. The Bible says there, "And there was one Anna, a prophetess, the daughter of Phanuel, of the tribe of Asher. She was of a great age and had lived with an husband 7 years from her virginity." From what I've read and looked at and studied, it means that she was only married 7 years before her husband died. Verse 37. "And she was a widow of almost 84 years. I don't know, you do the math there. She was of great age. Amen. I don't know how young she was when she got married. It doesn't tell us that. But it says here, "which departed not from the temple, but served God with fastings and prayers night and day. And she coming in that instant gave thanks likewise unto the Lord." And notice this. "And spake of him to all them that looked for redemption in Israel." Jesus Christ, Luke 2, right? You've read it how many times? That he was born. We're coming up on the birth celebration of the Lord Jesus Christ. And whether he was born in December or January or February or March, it really doesn't matter, quite frankly, to me. I know he was born, okay? And I know that he lived a sinless life. He died, was buried, rose again, and we know where he's at today. We just talked about that. But the point is, we know he was born. And here in Luke chapter 2, all the years that Anna has been waiting, and all the years even that Simeon had been waiting, and you can read about him as well. But now here comes the Messiah. Here comes the Redeemer. And what does it say about Anna? "She spoke of him to all them that looked for redemption." I don't know today who there is in your life or who there is in my life, and maybe they're not even looking for redemption per se, but they're looking for help or they're looking for hope. And they'll look for it in other places, won't they? We know that. We've done it, you've done it, I've done it. But here we have a testimony of a very aged woman, and God bless her for it, a very aged woman that spoke of Jesus. And notice what it says here, "to all them." To all them, she spoke of Jesus. Would you please turn with me to the Old Testament book of Isaiah? Isaiah in chapter 53, Anna spoke of Jesus. Isaiah chapter 53, the Bible says in verse 5, "But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way. And the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth." Isaiah is speaking of Jesus. He is prophesying of Jesus. He is telling us what is to come. He is telling us what will happen. He is telling the nation of Israel, as they would have had this in their own hand, their own hands to be able to read the scrolls or whatever at one point in time. And he's telling them who's coming. He's speaking of Jesus. It says, "He opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, as a sheep before her shearers is dumb. So he opened not his mouth. He was taken from prison and from judgment. Who shall declare to his generation? For he was cut off out of the land of the living. For the transgression of my people was he stricken." Verse 10, "Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. Yet put him to grief. Thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin. He shall see his seed. He shall prolong his days. And the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand." The prophet Isaiah spoke of Jesus. Go with me to John chapter 12. Hold that thought there. Isaiah, John chapter 12. Isaiah spoke of Jesus. Look at John chapter 12. verse number 41. We'll read verse 38. That the saying of Isaiah the prophet might be fulfilled, which he spake, Lord, who hath believed our report? To whom hath the arm of the Lord been revealed? Therefore they could not believe, because that Isaiah said again, he hath blinded their eyes and hardened their heart, that they should not see with their eyes nor understand with their heart, and be converted, and I should heal them. These things, notice verse 41, these things said Isaiah, it's Isaiah, when he saw his glory. Remember that? Chapter 6, verse 1, we won't turn back. Notice what he did. And spake of him. And spake of him. When Isaiah saw the glory of God in Isaiah chapter 6, number verse number 1, when Isaiah was told by the word of God, the word of the Lord, what to say there in Isaiah chapter 53, when Isaiah realized that he was a man of unclean lips, when Isaiah realized the glory of God, when Isaiah realized who God was and the fact that God wanted to be a part of Isaiah's life, the Bible tells us once again, like Anna, when she realized who this was, and all this time I've been waiting to see the Messiah, I've been waiting for his coming, and she couldn't help but speak of him. Here's a man, Isaiah, the Bible writes here, John writing, about Isaiah, and what could he do? All he could do when he saw what he saw is speak of him. They spoke of Jesus. In John chapter 9, you just turn back a couple of pages, we find the story of an unnamed blind man. An unnamed blind man. We learn about this unnamed blind man. The Lord Jesus Christ healed this blind man. In John chapter number 9, tells him in verse number 7 to go and wash in the pool of Siloam. Verse number 8, the neighbors therefore, and they which before had seen him, that he was blind, said, is not this he that sat and begged? And some said, this is he. Others said, he is like him. But he said, I am he. Therefore said they unto him, how were thine eyes open? He answered and said, a man that is called Jesus made clay and anointed mine eyes and said unto me, go to the pool of Siloam and wash. And I went, and washed, and I received sight. And said they unto him, where is he? And he said, I know not. They brought to the Pharisees to him. They brought to the Pharisees him that aforetime was blind. Verse number 17. They say unto the blind man again, what sayest thou of him that he hath opened thine eyes? He said, he is a prophet. But the Jews did not believe concerning him that he had been blind. He received his sight until they called the parents. Goes on and down there. Look at verse number 23. Therefore said his parents, he is of age, ask him. Verse 25, he answered and said, this is the blind man, whether he be a sinner or no, I know not. One thing I know, that whereas I was blind, now I see. The blind man healed of his blindness. The blind man, speaking of Jesus, the blind man giving God the glory, the blind man recognizing that his sight had been restored only by the power of God. And every one of us here today that are on our way to heaven, we were once born in sin. We were once headed for hell. We were once on the highway to hell, so to speak. But because of the grace of God, he opened our eyes to the truth of the Word of God. And now we're on that narrow road that leads to eternal life. They spoke of Jesus. Back a couple more chapters to the Gospel of John in chapter 4, we meet a woman at Jacob's well. We meet a woman that went to the well during the heat of the day for various reasons, one of which was the lifestyle that she was living, more than likely. Living in a promiscuous lifestyle, living in a lifestyle that was not acceptable even in her time. We read of the Lord Jesus Christ specifically going out of his way. By the way, if you've never studied that out, look at the beginning. He said, I must needs go through Samaria. He went the long way. Think about it. He went the long way for one, what we would say, woman of ill repute. says he had compassion on her. In fact, we don't know her name either. Isn't it amazing how many people we don't know their names? The Bible says in verse number 6, now Jacob's well was there. Jesus, therefore, being wearied with his journey, sat thus on the well. It was about the sixth hour, which is noon. There cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water, and Jesus saith unto her, give me to drink. And again, we're not going to preach about all that is happening here, but Jesus is confronting her with something physical, but he's also going to turn it into something spiritual. Verse 13, Jesus answered and said unto her, whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again, but whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst, but the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. Jesus said unto her, go call thy husband. In verse 16, the woman answered and said, I have no husband. And Jesus said, you're right, you have no husband, for thou hast had five husbands. In fact, you're shacking up with one now. He's not your husband, verse number 18. Now, he whom thou hast is not thy husband. In that saidst thou truly. Wow, verse 19, the woman said, sir, I believe thou art a prophet. And he goes on to draw her to himself. Verse 25, the woman saith unto him, I know that Messiah cometh, which is called Christ, the Anointed One. He will tell us all things. Jesus saith unto her, I that speak unto thee am he. Verse 28. The woman then left her water pot. Why was she there? She was there to get water. You know what? When she met Jesus, nothing else mattered. When she met Jesus, nothing else mattered. And the Bible says that she left her water pot there, and she went her way, and into the city, everybody knew who she was. The Bible says, though, it didn't matter. And saith to the men, come see a man, which told me all things that ever I did. Is not this the Christ? Is not this the Anointed One? Is not this the Messiah? Is not this the Savior? She spoke of Jesus. John the Baptist in John chapter 1, we won't turn there. John the Baptist in John chapter 1 said, I'm a voice preparing the way of the Messiah. He spoke of Jesus. Micah chapter 5, the prophet Micah, the minor prophet with a major message, amen? He spoke of Jesus. He tells us exactly where Jesus is going to be born in Micah chapter 5 and verse number 2. We could go through the Bible from now until lunch. We won't. We could find examples of people that spoke of Jesus. I remember once again men like Nate Saint and Ed McCauley and Peter Fleming and Roger Yoderian and Jim Elliott. These men who went to Ecuador, they spoke of Jesus. All five of them, as you know, their story. They were martyred. They spoke of Jesus. I think of older men that are well in heaven for many, many years, D.L. Moody, Charles Spurgeon, and H.A. Ironside, and Bob Jones. And by the way, we would not have known of D.L. Moody had it not been for a man by the name of Ed Kimball, a Sunday school teacher who greatly influenced Moody, who spoke of Jesus. I come to you today with a burden on my heart that we at Anchor Baptist Church would speak more of Jesus. There's many things we could speak about. We could speak about current events of our day, and they kind of do overrun us, don't they? The news headline has been the same now for almost 2 years. I don't think that headline's going away anytime soon. I've spoke of it a lot. What about speaking of Jesus? What about speaking of the one who can continue to set captives free? What about the one who changed my life? What about the one who changed your life? We need more laborers to speak of Jesus in the harvest field. It's the prayer request that Jesus left. He said, "Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he would send forth laborers into the harvest." We need more mothers to speak of Jesus to their children at home. We need more fathers to speak of Jesus to their family. We need more broken people to speak of the one who put them back together. By the way, we're all broken. Had it not been for the tender hands of a gracious God, we would still be in pieces today. Oh, by the grace of God, today we're a trophy of His grace. We're a trophy of His mercy. It's not of us. It's not of me. It's not of you. Let us speak of Jesus more. We need more followers of Jesus Christ to make the time to speaking of Jesus. Think of this. You've read the Bible. You've read the Bible. If you're online today, I hope you've read the Bible. We're talking about the one who turned water into wine. We're talking about the one who calmed the storm with just a few words, "Peace, be still." We're talking about the one who used his hands to take a few fish and a few pieces of bread and miraculously feed 5, 10, 15,000 people. We're talking about the one who would actually tell his Judas, the one who would sell him out, betrayer, that he would call him a friend. Talking about the one, as we said earlier, who would go out of his way to reach a Samaritan woman, a woman who no one would really care for in that day. That's the one we're talking about. We're talking about the one who sticketh closer than a brother. We're talking about the one who continues to be the way, the truth, and the life. We're talking about the one who said, "I'd rather go sit with the sinners than with the religious elite." We're talking about the one who raised Lazarus from the dead. We're talking about the one who spoke the world into existence. We know that Jesus was even there on creation day. Turn with me to Hebrews chapter 1, please. Hebrews chapter 1. They spoke of Jesus. While we're speaking of Jesus here this morning, I want you to be thinking about how often you speak of Jesus. How often do you speak of Jesus? Oh, God, help us to speak of Jesus more. You say, "I spoke of Jesus yesterday." Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. But yesterday's over. "I spoke of Jesus last week." Great, great. But it's last week's over. We're talking about today. We're talking about if we get tomorrow. They spoke of Jesus. Hebrews chapter 1 and verse number 1, the Bible says, "God, who at sundry times and in diverse manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by" who? "His Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things." That's who we're speaking of. We're speaking of the Son of God, "who hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds, who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins." That's Jesus. That's who we're supposed to be speaking of. "Sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high." H.A. Ironside said of this text, "Christ is the beginning. Christ is the end. Christ is the center of all ages." We're not speaking of someone who's dead. We're speaking of someone who's alive. We are not religious. We are not religious. We have a relationship with God because of the Lord Jesus Christ. Nowhere can his bones be found today. Why? Because he's alive. He is alive. He is seated at the right hand of the Father. He is interceding for you and for me. We are speaking of someone who's alive. They spoke of Jesus. We are not speaking of a man. We could talk about a lot of men today and women today in our world. We could talk about when we spoke of pastors and ladies and so forth, and nothing wrong with that. But how much do we speak of Jesus? How much do we speak of Jesus in our homes? How much do we speak of Jesus in our workplaces? How much do we speak of Jesus? Turn to 1 Timothy chapter 2, please. 1 Timothy chapter 2. They spoke of Jesus. I think in many cases the cares of life distract us from the main thing at times. I'm speaking of myself right now. I can't speak for anyone else. But the cares of life distract us at times. We feel like we're just above water. No pun intended. Yet, We need to be speaking of Jesus. Look what it says in 1 Timothy 2:5. There is one God and one mediator between God and men. It's not the church. The man, Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for how many? All. We're speaking of the one who is the only one who is able to be the mediator between God and mankind, the Lord Jesus Christ. We're speaking of the one who showed us how to give himself. The Bible says there that he gave himself a ransom for all. Ransom is a payment that is made in exchange for someone who is in captivity, if you will, or captive. What is the ransom? What's the price? You've heard of a ransom note or a ransom request. Here it says that there's only one person that has paid the ransom for all. Why would we speak less of Jesus in 2021 and not more of Jesus? We should be speaking more of Jesus. Why? Because this old world is bubbling over with fear. This old world is bubbling over with anxiety. If no other time than the present, we should be speaking of Jesus, who is the Prince of Peace. They spoke of Jesus. You see, only Jesus can bring sinful man into a relationship with a holy God. This is why we speak of Jesus. Why do we speak of Jesus? Because he is the way, the truth, and the life. Who do you know today? Who do you know today that is unsaved? Do you know somebody today that is lost? Do you know somebody today that they are one heartbeat away from eternal judgment in hell and then eventually the lake of fire? I have numerous names on several prayer sheets and notebooks that I have that I look at from time to time, quite regularly, and there's names on there. And beside certain names, it says salvation. And it doesn't mean they're saved. It means they need to get saved. And we bring their names to the Lord in prayer, and we should. And we should. And by the way, that's the first place we should be taking their name, is to the Lord in prayer. We should be asking for the Holy Spirit of God to bring conviction upon their heart. We should be asking for the Holy Spirit of God to bring a Christian across their path. Oh, but wait a minute. There might be a time where we're the answer to our own prayer. What do you mean? I mean, we should be speaking of Jesus to them. We should be asking the Lord, God, would you open up an opportunity for me to speak of Jesus to those who I know, my family, my friends, and I know some of you, and I'm praying for some of your family members today to be saved. You have spoken to them of Jesus. You are praying for them. I encourage you, keep it up. If they're still breathing, there's still hope. I don't mean to say that in an unkind way. Don't stop praying. But we spoke of Jesus. They spoke of Jesus. Turn to Acts chapter 1. They spoke of Jesus. Why else do we speak of Jesus? Well, he said this just before he left, after his crucifixion, his burial, his resurrection in Acts chapter number 1. The Bible says in verse 11, which also said, ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? The angels are telling the disciples or people that are there that are just staring. I would have been probably staring too. How about it? This same Jesus, I've underlined those two words in my Bible, same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven. In John 14, Jesus says it this way, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again. I will come again. Why do we need to talk about Jesus? Because he's coming again. He's coming again. He's coming in the clouds, and we will greet him in the air, and we will meet him in the clouds, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. We need to speak of Jesus today, because in some cases, time is very short. Some are about to die. Some are about to die. They're not Anna, who was, who knows how old she was. Very old, if we do some math there. You say, those people are about to die, but you know what? 25-year-old people are about to die too. Is appointed unto men once to die. Age is no respecter, right? Or death is no respecter of age, is what I'm saying. We speak of Jesus. Why? Because he's coming again. He's the only way, the truth, and the life. He is the only mediator. We can continue to go through the Bible, and we can continue to go through history, and we can see people that spoke of Jesus. But I want to ask you personally this question. Are you speaking of Jesus? Let me encourage you in this way as we come to the end of the message. Speak of Jesus at home. Speak of Jesus at home. Before you speak of Jesus to everybody else, speak of Jesus at home. You say, I'm the only one there. Speak of Jesus while you're there. By the way, our enemy, Satan, is not omnipresent, but he's got people all over. He's got his group all over too. So we need to speak of Jesus in our homes. You can do that by playing the Word of God in your home. You can do that by talking about the things of God in your home. And I need to do more of that. I'm talking to me right now. Speak of Jesus in the home. You see, what will happen is we speak of Jesus in the home. We get in the habit of speaking of Jesus in the home. And then it just carries on into our day. One of the easiest ways we can speak of Jesus and tell the gospel is the good old-fashioned gospel tract. The good old-fashioned gospel tract. In fact, you don't even have to really say anything. You can just say, sometimes you might have to say something. This gospel tract that I have in my hand can tell people, at least plant a seed. It might even water it. It might even bring forth fruit because maybe they've already been challenged or God's working on their heart. When we speak of Jesus, we never know what's going to come of it. We just want him to get all the glory from it. But I want to encourage you, speak of Jesus. December 1st is this Wednesday. December 1st is this Wednesday. I wish this was chocolate, but this is better than chocolate. It's a Purdy's bag. God laid on my heart just a few days ago that we would, as a church, work together to do 31 tracts in 31 days. That's one a day. In some cases, that will be a big step for you. And I'm not saying that to be unkind. But that will be a big step. 31 tracts, 31 days. Others, you already hand out tracts regularly. Don't limit yourself to 31. But I have 25 bundles up here today. My challenge is to the adults first. I think the adults should be the leaders of the church. Would you not agree? I can see a bunch of kids jump into the job. And we want them to help too. This is one way to speak of Jesus. In these bundles, there are a few Merry Christmas gospel tracts. Then there are many of these right here. There's 750 gospel tracts in this Purdy's bag. I don't pray that we only do 750 tracts in the month of December. I pray that we do many more than that. I'd like to encourage you to keep track of your tract distribution for the glory of God. And when you go through the first 31, if you need another bundle, we'll have them ready for you. These are available for you to take today. We have another service coming, so maybe we'll only have half of them available for this group. Are you speaking of Jesus? Do people know you're a Christian? I had the opportunity to go to the laundromat yesterday. I haven't had to do that much in recent years. I'm thankful that we've had a working washer and dryer, but Right now, the washer is DOA, dead on arrival. When I knocked on the door of the washroom, I heard a gentleman. I was pretty sure it was a gentleman. And, yeah, I'm in here, something like that. It wasn't unkind. I made it sound unkind. And so, later on, I think it was him. He was sitting at the front of the laundromat, and he was doing his laundry, and his hair was soaking wet. Right away, the Holy Spirit of God said, "You need to give him a try." And of course, I have excuses too. Right? I get the laundry done. I didn't have any on me at the time, but I had a whole heap of them in the car. In fact, I was getting ready to wrap these up, and here I am fighting the Lord about giving a guy a try. Anyway, I had a Christmas one, and he took it. Praise the Lord. I didn't get his name. I didn't get a chance to really talk to him a whole lot. But before I left, he had it turned over, and he was reading the back of it. Receive your gift today, the greatest gift. I don't know who that man is. And I'm not, again, I'm not the best example. But I know this. Somebody spoke of Jesus around me for years. I'm on my way to heaven today. Not because I'm a good guy, I'm a pastor, whatever. You know why I'm on my way to heaven today? I mean, by the grace of God, yes. But it's because people spoke Jesus over and over.